So we are going to continue our series here called Church, Why Bother? And we are actually going to be looking at the same passage that we looked at last week. It's Romans 12. Instead of reading through the first 13 verses, we're just going to read through the first 8. If you remember, last week we read through the whole chapter because I said that I wanted to look at it because it hits all the different aspects of our core values, these banners that you see scattered around here. The first couple of verses talk about embracing Christ. The passages that we talk about today, which are going to be pretty much verses 3 through 8, talk about how we are created to serve one another uniquely. And we're going to look at this thing called spiritual gifts today. And then the last half, which is what we looked at last week, which was really about loving others and what Christian community should look like. How we should be trying and striving to make strangers into friends. The idea of biblical hospitality. How we need to be there and invest in people's lives. Not just when it's easy or convenient or when they're just like us, but even when they're different and what that looks like. And so today we're going to, as I said, talk about spiritual gifts and in particular serving our world. And we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul tells us in there. So if you can turn with me to page 788 in your Bibles, we will be looking at Romans 12 verses 1 through 8. It says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not at all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, then let him govern diligently. And if it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." This is the word of the Lord. When I was younger, in my junior high age years, I had to ride the bus for like an hour. Not always the fun thing to do as a kid. And so we had to do things to kind of pass the time. And one of the things that my friends and I would do would we play the superpower edition of the game Would You Rather. Maybe you're familiar of the kind of game that can be played of Would You Rather. Would you rather do this or would you rather do that? And we would play superpower ways. You know, we'd get into deep conversations about things like, would you rather have supernatural hearing where you can hear everything in the world? Or would you rather have x-ray vision and be able to see through brick walls and see whatever you need whenever you want it? We'd ask questions like, if you were in a fight, would you want to be strong like Superman? Or would you want to have the ability to fling webs like Spider-Man? What would you do? And we would have, you know, everybody would get to give their opportunity to weigh in and tell them what you wanted and tell you why they made that choice, why they decided that they needed to do that, why they thought this superpower was better than other. Now, maybe the ladies in the room can't really highlight to that, but the reality is that I think the idea of superpowers is something that really attracts young guys. They love the idea of having a power over something. It shows us that they discover it. And I have to admit that even as an adult, I admit that sometimes I can be drawn into this genre. Now, it's not just because of the action. I tend to actually prefer movies where the heroes are starting to discover who they are. And there's a drama there. There's a power there as they figure out this gift. Maybe they discover that they had just been bitten by a spider, like the opening thing of Spider-Man, and they're realizing that they had this power that they never thought they had before. And there's also the grappling with, what does this power mean? How does it affect their life? And what are they going to do now? And I'll never forget the line that Spider-Man says at the end of the first movie, at least the end of the first movie that was in my own genre. Peter Parker says that whatever life holds in store for me, I will never forget these words: with great power comes great responsibility. This is my gift, this is my curse, who am I? Spider-Man. You sense that he's coming into his own. He's realizing that with the gift comes power, but also with that power comes responsibility. Well, I begin my sermon reminiscing about my own superhero conversations, not to just bore you, but because I think that the reality is that there's something powerful there. There's something about grasping a power or a gift and coming into the grasp of that reality. There's something powerful about realizing what you can do with that gift and how you realize that you could be created for a purpose. And this is really the power or the punch of the passage that Paul's getting at today. He wants us to see that we've all been given gifts. We've all actually been given spiritual gifts. And what we need to do is understand what the purpose of them is. And so we all kind of have these superhero moments. Now, maybe not doing cool things like shooting spider webs out of our arms or flying around buildings or doing that. But God has uniquely gifted each believer, and he's brought us together so that we can serve one another, both inside and outside the church. That's really the point of our passage today, and it's one that we're going to unpack. Now, if you look at that statement, I'll say it again. God gives you and every believer a different set of spiritual gifts that he has brought us together so that we can serve one another inside and outside the church. That's really why we're here. This is our purpose for life. And what we'll see is there's kind of a what question there. There's a, well, what is it? And the what part of it is, God gives every believer a different set of spiritual gifts. And there's the purpose question. There's the why statement and the question answer. It answers the why question so that we can serve one another inside and outside of the church. Now, it's a pretty simple statement, but the reality is that spiritual gifts and those kind of things are really kind of complicated. And depending what your experience is with church or not being part of a church, you can have different connotations. And so I want to start by clearly defining what a spiritual gift is. We see that Paul is talking about spiritual gifts in verse 6. He says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. And the implication is just like I said, that God gives every believer different spiritual gifts. Well, what are spiritual gifts? Well, depending on what your experience is, you may think of spiritual gifts as superpowers. You know, when you hear the word super and spiritual, you may think of supernatural. Well, that's not really what it is. And if your experience is in church, you may come at spiritual gifts with different things and different ideas. You may think that spiritual gifts are something you don't really talk about. I grew up in a church that we talked more about God-given abilities and God-given talents than we did spiritual gifts, and there's a reason for it. Because sometimes the idea and the connotation of spiritual gifts can kind of be misused and taken out of context and overplayed. And so my church kind of just wanted to kind of push against that. And so they didn't talk about it more. Maybe you've gone to churches or been a part of churches where certain spiritual gifts are really played up. Things like miraculous healings that you see on shows like TBN or speaking in tongues or prophecy. And that's all the spiritual gifts that people talk about. It's those kind of supernatural spiritual gifts, maybe is the way, or super spiritual ones, not just talents or those kind of things. And so it's important for us, because we come from a variety of different backgrounds, to be clear on what a spiritual gift and what it is and what it isn't. And what we see is that spiritual gifts are special abilities given by Christ through the Holy Spirit to empower believers to do ministries in the church and outside of it. And if you see, we have that definition on the handout, and we're not going to have time to unpack everything and look at all the spiritual gifts. I think there's 21 of them, so don't worry, we're not going to be here for 3 hours talking about them. But the reality is that spiritual gifts are there. And if you want to look at that, we have the handout that you can read and look at the passages where they are. But what you'll notice is that spiritual gifts are special abilities. And when we say abilities, we can often think of as talents. Well, it's true. Spiritual gifts can be talents. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Bible passage that we have today, you look at the list of gifts that he lists, it's things like serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, generosity, leadership. Most of those times, we may look at those things and say that those are talents or gifts or abilities that people have been given. And the reality is that some spiritual gifts have that feeling. But there's a difference between spiritual gifts and talents. God gives all talents, but the spiritual gifts are given for a unique purpose, the purpose that we're going to talk about here at the end. And so some of you may have some of these abilities. You may have leadership. You may have the ability to teach. You may have the gift to sing and lead worship and do those kind of things. And you may want to just call it a talent. But what this passage challenges us is that this is a gift. that God gave it to you for a purpose. And so he's created you and uniquely created you for this very reason. If you look at other gifts, they kind of have more of this kind of what I'd call spiritual or supernatural. I've struggled to find the right word for it. Things like in 1 Corinthians, where it talks very much about things like the gift of healing or miraculous powers or prophecy or distinguishing between spirits or speaking in different kinds of tongues and still another, the interpretation of tongues. And what we believe at Crossway is those things are valid, that those things can happen. We truly believe that God can have somebody, give somebody the gift of healing, and they can miraculously heal them, even though the doctor said it can't be done. Now, does it happen every day? No. Do people need to do that in great power and publicity and trying to draw attraction to themselves? No. But those gifts can be, and sometimes it seems more those natural gifts, those talents. And so what we see is that spiritual gifts kind of have more, they can have a natural and a supernatural way. They can also have a talent component, and it's really the sweet spot of where all that stuff happens, where we define it as a spiritual gift. It's a special ability done for a purpose. But even those more natural ones that we might think are more talents can have a supernatural component, and that's where I want to challenge you. For an instance, somebody may have the ability to teach. When I come up here and preach, I work, I study, I do things that as best I can to prepare. And there's a natural, what we might consider natural component to it. But when I preach and when I speak, there are times when God can use it to really touch your heart. Maybe there's something that just seems like, man, that seems like that's something I really needed to hear today. And God just kind of refreshes your heart to it. He challenges you, or he encourages you, or he just reveals his presence to you in a different way. Well, teaching is a pretty natural thing, but it can have this supernatural component too. And so what we see is there doesn't need to be this differentiation, that everything has a spiritual and more of a natural side to it. That's what spiritual gifts are. And so now we have that. I just want to keep on moving on and say, let's look at the truth of what that simple statement, that God gives every believer different spiritual gifts and how it can impact our lives. And the first thing we see is that every Christian has spiritual gifts. Romans 12, verse 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. And this is important. Because sometimes when we think about church, or sometimes when we think about our life or our faith, we can doubt whether or not we have gifts, whether we have meaning, or whether we have purpose, whether we really even have anything to offer. And what this passage clearly articulates is that God created you with a purpose in mind, that God uniquely gifted you with a certain set of skills and abilities and spiritual gifts for a reason. And we don't need to devalue ourselves and second guess that we can see that in our lives. And part of what it is just learning what those spiritual gifts are and unpacking them. Some of our spiritual gifts we may not discover right away. If you would have asked me, man, maybe even 10 years ago, if I would be sitting here as a pastor preaching every week, leading a church, I would have just laughed at you. It wasn't even something that was even on my radar. But God works in your life. He puts challenges in front of you, and he helps you see what these gifts are. And so the first thing we see is that every Christian has spiritual gifts. So I want you to just think about it, and that's why we put those questions in your bulletin, to think about what are the gifts that God has created you for? What are the things that he's given you so that you can use to serve other people? But the other thing is that we need to understand is that God sees who distributes the gifts as he sees fit. He determines what you get and what you don't get. Now, that can seem kind of difficult to kind of grasp why sometimes, but it is there. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We saw that before. Another passage that talks about spiritual gifts, 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, each one of us should use whatever gift he's received. And this is important to note, because sometimes we can want certain spiritual gifts. We can think that if only I had them, then I would be a real Christian. Or if only I had that ability, then maybe I could be worth something. But what this passage tells us is that you have a certain set of gifts that God gave you, and He's the one who can give you those gifts or not give you those gifts. That means when we come to some of these kind of supernatural things or super spiritual things or whatever you want to call them, the gift of healing or the gift of tongues, that just because you don't have those things doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit. Or just because you don't have those gifts doesn't mean that God isn't a part of your life. Rather, what it means is that that's not your gift. And you don't have to judge yourself as being less worthy or more worthy of God's love, or that God loves you more or loves you less if you don't have different gifts. And that's a really important truth for us to remember, that God's the one who gives us the gifts and we need to trust Him for it. I don't know how you guys handle gifts, but for me, when I open a gift, you sometimes have that reaction of really excitement, and sometimes you're like, really? What did I get this for, you know? I mean, and I'm not talking the white elephant gifts that you get where they're purposely trying to do that, but I've had these, you know, gifts where sometimes you're just like, what's the point of this? And I've come to learn not to second guess my mom's gifts. There are times where my mom will give me gifts, and it's usually my reaction is sometimes like, Mom, I didn't ask for that. I have a rain jacket already, or I have this, or what do I need lap trays for? I mean, really? Do I want that for my birthday? But what I find is that my mom's gifts are usually pretty smart and much smarter than me. I'll remember when she gave me a rain jacket that had Crossway Church embroidered on it. I'd just gotten a new jacket a year ago, and I thought, what do I need another jacket for? But I started wearing it around because I'm a good son, and I want to show off what my mom gave me. And I was walking through the line, and somebody asked me. They saw the moniker, Crossway Church, and it engaged in a conversation. I thought, that gift was really smart. My mom knew what she was giving me, even though I didn't know how to receive it at the time. Or the lap trays, you know? Lap trays are not a really sexy, cool gift. iPods or iPads or those kind of things are cooler. But they're nice, and when we have people over and everybody can't fit around the table, we open up that drawer, we take them out, and everybody has that tray that they can eat. It fosters community. And you have those moments now when people come over to my house where I go, wow, thank you, Mom, for the lap tray gift. You see, every single gift, whether we think it's important or not, is. And that's the final thing that we learn about the statement, that God gives you this gift because it's important. And even if you don't think it's important to you, God views it as important to Him. And so we can't minimize gifts. We rather need to really be thankful for them and play that up. You know, Paul hints at this in our passage when he says, just as each of you has one body with many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. But he makes it even more clear in other passages, like 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 21, where he talks about the body being made up and how the eye can't say, I don't have any value because I'm not a hand, or the hand can't say, I don't have any value because I'm not a foot. The point is that God has gifted you uniquely to fill a purpose. And so even though we may think it's much cooler to be able to sit up here and sing, or much cooler or more important to sit up here and preach or to teach or to do those things, the person who set up these chairs this morning had just as big of a role in our church this morning as what I'm doing here today. The people who put out the Bibles or make the coffee or who put out the signs, that their role in our church and their gift is just as important as anything that's done up here, maybe even more important because it's the support structure that's there. And so when we look at that, when we look at our life and as we uncover these gifts, we need to remember that truth. That even if we may not think a certain gift is important, that God does. And what we're not called to have all the gifts we want, we are called to use the gifts that He's got. Which really brings us to the last point, which is this. God brings us together to serve those inside and outside the church. God just didn't give you something to sit a gift just to sit there and look pretty or to be kind of held closely. You know, the great violinist Nikolai Paganini had a marvelous violin, a violin that was made out of exquisite wood that could play beautiful music. I'm not big on music, but my sister who played violin could tell you that different violins with different wood characteristics have better tones. And he had one of these that's usually passed from one master violinist to the next, and it's given to those people so that they can just bring out the beauty of the music that other people can't. Well, he decided he wasn't going to pass one of these big, nice, beautiful violins on to another violinist and said he was going to give it to a city. And it sat there on display to be shown of, hey, look, this is this master violinist's violin. And what happened is, as people would try and eventually get a chance to play it, that violin had lost its ability to really play beautiful music. It had started to deteriorate. And the wood that made it so beautiful and the vibrant sound that they used to be able to get from it, it was completely destroyed because it wasn't used. Well, and likewise for us, if we don't use our gifts, we don't destroy them, but they're not really playing the beauty and use as much of our purpose as we're meant to. We don't see the beauty in ourselves that could be. And so we see in 1 Peter and other passages that what we're supposed to do is to use our gifts to serve others, those inside the church and not. It says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. And we see this again in other passages like Ephesians, where he talks about how we need to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity and faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature and attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, God not only created you for a purpose, he brought you to this church and to this group of people for a purpose. The image that I like to think of when we have about how God brings us together and uses those images, those gifts in a unique way to build up the church is a jigsaw puzzle. You have a part to play. I have a part to play. We all have a part to play. And when we use our particular gifts, we fill in those voids to become what the church is really meant to be. Now, this can be a beautiful thing, but we can't always wait for other people to tell us what our gifting is, or we can't always wait for people to use our gifts. Sometimes we need to proactively search out ways that we can use our gifts. Sometimes we need to find ways and figure out how we can discover how we can fit. But this is really the image of the church that God has for us, that you're here for a reason and that your specific role is there. And when you use that gift, it fills you and it fulfills your mission and purpose in life. And it is a fulfilling thing because you know that you're using this gift that God has given you for a purpose. It's why we have such a variety of people in our church. One of the things that I'm most proud of as a pastor is that we have a cross generation. You just look at the church around you. I mean, we're not just 20-somethings. We're not just 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds or 50-year-olds or 60-year-olds or 70-year-olds. We have everything in between. We even have teenagers who are serving faithfully every week. And God's brought us together for a purpose. It's why some people are just those encouragers, aren't they? They're the ones who are there to always call you up and say, how's life going on? We want to do that. It's why we have some people who are the party planners and the people who are able to plan events and host, and hospitality comes natural to them. We have some people who can do things like lead worship or do the sound or set up because God's brought us all together to serve one another. But the goal isn't just that we do church on Sunday. The goal is that we help each other love God more and love Christ more. That we can spur one another on and that God can use us in spite of our brokenness to help each other for the common good. That's really what it's about. That God will use us to serve one another in small ways and in large ways, on Sundays and outside of church, so that we can be a blessing and that we can invite people into a deeper relationship with Christ. That we can be the support structure they need, that we can be the voice of reason that they need sometimes, that we can speak into people's lives when they want, and this is what we're here for. Now, I don't know what you think about your gifting, or I don't know what you think about how you are, but you need to hear this passage, that God has uniquely gifted you for a purpose. And it's not always clear. Sometimes we have to have those moments like I have with my mom, where it's just like deja vu, oh, this is why it is. And sometimes it may take years for us to uncover gifts, but God has given you gifts for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve one another. But not just to serve those inside the church, to serve those outside of the church. You know, if we just serve those who can serve us back, it's really not service, it's more ping pong. I'll hit the ball to you, you hit it back to me. Real service and real love comes when we reach out to those who may not be able to pay us back, to show hospitality to those who aren't in a spot where they can do that, to maybe show encouragement and love to those who may not be able to show that to us. And that's really why we're here as a church. Crossway Church wants to be that to other people. And there's a reason why we do it. We don't serve to feel good or to pat ourselves on the back. We don't serve and give and use these gifts just because it makes us feel like we're doing something. We serve because we've been served. I love Mark 10, verses 41 through 45. And James and John are arguing over where they're going to sit and who's going to have the highest and the best spot in the church. They're basically arguing who's going to be the head of the church and who's going to be the pinky toe. And what happens here is Jesus says to them, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. And who wants to become first must become the slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life down as a ransom for many. We serve because Christ served us. We love because God loved us first. He gave up everything he had in heaven, came down to earth as a baby boy, took on all of humanity, took on ridicule and persecution and hatred and slander, and an eventual death on the cross with the absolute constant and separation from God, the anguish of suffering his wrath, so that you and I cannot be enemies of God, but instead become friends. And this is why we serve. We serve because we've been served. And we use our gifts because we understand that God put us there for a reason. And when we understand that, then there's a power there. There's an ability there. And there's a humility there. We're not haughty thinking that, well, why aren't these other people serving? I do all the work. We serve because we're called to serve. We love because we're called to love. We play the part that God's called us to play. So my challenge to you today is to ask yourself, what is your shape? Where is it that your spiritual gifts lie, or your heart, your abilities, your personality, but where do you fit in the puzzle piece of this church, or in the mission, or in the service elsewhere as well? What's your purpose, and how has God uniquely gifted us? I think the best way I can use to just describe this is an illustration that Guy Ingriggs uses in his book called The Life in His Body. He tells a story of two students who graduated from the Chicago Kent College of Law. The highest ranking student in the class was a blind man named Overton. And when he received his honor for becoming valedictorian or whatever, he insisted that half the credit should go to his friend Kasperzak. Overton is blind, and his friend Kasperzak has no arms. God providentially brought those people together the first day of class. Overton couldn't find his way around the classroom, and his armless fellow student brought him to wherever he needed to go. He guided him down the steps. He always brought him to class, and it started this friendship. These two guys really depended on one another. Overton, the blind guy, carried Kasperson's books, who didn't have any arms, so that they could be of service to one another. They studied together, and they got each other around, and they got through law school together, and they did well. Overton wanted to make sure that his friend Kasperson got half the credit because he couldn't have done it without him. These guys could have looked at their limitations. They could have said, well, I don't have any arms, or I'm blind and I can't do that. They could have looked at their brokenness and all the thing that's wrong. And they could have said, well, that keeps me from trying these new tasks or these new things. But instead they realized that God had uniquely grafted them together so that they could serve one another and help one another to achieve a goal. And this is really what the church is like. We all have brokenness. We all are incomplete. We all have skill sets and talents that we can't do. But God has brought us together for a common good, to serve each other and to serve those around us. And when we do, we can be the Overton and Kasperson to each other and to the world around us. We can bless them and serve them because God has served and blessed us. And this is the vision of what the church should be. So, what are your limitations? What are the things that you're not good at? But more importantly, What are the unique gifts and skill set that God has given you that you can use to help those around you be a better church? See, church isn't just something we come to. Church is something we are. It's something we do. And what we see is that when we do it, we discover there's a power and there's a gifting, even maybe more than what we imagine. So let's dream about how we can be the church, how we can use the gifts that God has given us to serve one another and the world around us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, and Lord, we know that any talent, any gift, any skill set that we have is really just a gift from you. We know that there's nothing that we can do other than what you've already enabled us to do, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you keep us from becoming too arrogant about our gifts, but also too humble, and may you just give us the drive to find new gifts and to use them in the proper way. We ask this all in your name. Amen.